Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, show us the way and enable us to faithfully follow Jesus, in whose name we pray, Amen. God is in control, that's for sure. And on the other hand, God allows us to have free will. These two thoughts are compatible because God uses all things to direct us to Him. And we make choices which bring us either closer to or further from God. So whatever is in our future, we can be assured that what goes on is for God's glory and our eternal benefit. And the idea of eternity or eternal benefit is one that we would do well to keep in mind. Do you remember a few years ago, ISIS in the Middle East lined up Christian men along the ocean and beheaded the men? The story showed itself on TV, and when the wives and the family members were interviewed sometime after this, they said that those men who were martyred were each honored by their household now. And sure, it was difficult to be without a husband and a dad there, but those men were honored. Apparently, each of those men who died would have gladly chosen to die for their faith in Jesus Christ. God bless them, and God bless their loved ones also. May each one of us have such steady and strong faith if we are ever in a situation where we need to choose Jesus. Now, doesn't this just make you think of Matthew 10:22, where it says, "And you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake." Well, that happens sometimes, and just a couple of weeks ago in Egypt, there were 29 Coptic Christians who were killed just because they were Christians. And also, there was something going in the news about ISIS killing 125 presumed Muslims because they were shopping at a shopping mall in Baghdad, and somehow they were not keeping a Muslim holy day because they were out shopping, so they deserved to be killed, I guess. Oh, well, a lot goes on in our world. These are events that happen. There are conflicts, there are natural disasters, and there are wars all over the world. And so, yes, we really do want to bask in the wonderful love of God that He has for us, but sometimes we forget that those who belong to Christ will go through hardship for His sake. And for a reference, we can look at or read The Voice of the Martyrs monthly magazine, or we can read Fox's Book of the Martyrs, and we can get first-hand accounts of men and women who suffered and were persecuted for the sake of Jesus. Now, it is pretty uniform that the people who were martyred or suffered would not have chosen that path, because nobody likes to be persecuted. But if it comes along, we can be glad for it, because it shows the closeness that we get with Jesus. The men and women who were in prison for Jesus, they said they would not have wanted their situation to be any different. Wow! Yeah. Because it was such a beautiful thing to have that close relationship with Jesus. Just amazing. So, here we are today, not knowing what tomorrow holds. And I have found a surprising consistency among Christians who say that we are somehow on the edge of something major in this country. And many would add, "Well, can't you just feel it? Something is going on. Something is definitely going on in our country." Well, yeah, I can say that I feel it. And I can also say that my intellect recognizes that there is some change coming our way. Now, I don't know what it is, and I certainly don't know when it is. But yeah, I get a sense there's something going on that is moving in this country. So often enough on this broadcast, I have spoken about the subject of preparedness. And I do mean that this is spiritual preparedness and physical preparedness. They are both so very important. And one of the things I've talked about is having extra on hand, and that way we have something which we can share with others. You know, if someone's hungry, if someone is in need of something, we have extra that we can give them. And that includes having extra Bibles on hand. Someday we just might want to give those Bibles away, and they will be used and useful. So for wondering about all the things that we do not have a certainty about, you know, that's what does tomorrow hold? Well, over the years I have pondered just that very question, and I have found that there's another observation that I have which goes right along with it. As I've wondered things and puzzled over things, I have discovered that things are not as they appear. No, they are not. Things are not as they appear. They are always different. Surprisingly complex, and surprisingly, even you could call it misleading for what our normal senses recognize. And it makes me think about Ephesians 6:12. You know, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Yeah, there's a lot going on and a lot we don't see. And for all the times the people in the United States have been tricked into supporting something, a foreign war often enough, well, we should be careful about what we support. We have this thing going on right now with North Korea. What will it develop into? We don't know. Sure, it could be war. But I also think it's a good idea to look at the things that connect right along with it. You know, that North Korea has an alliance with China. And there's some kind of an alliance with Russia, too. And we just wonder about the way things could be. We should look at it very carefully. We know that they have two satellites which fly over the United States every day. That is, North Korea does. Every single day, they have two satellites which go across the United States. Is this a very real threat? Well, it could be. It could be very much, because we don't know what's on those satellites. We don't know if they just might disrupt our communications somehow. It's a possibility. So I say let's use caution and make sure that we know that we have good proof before we get into a situation with another nation. It could easily turn into World War III. Because of the alliances that are going on, it's just an unknown. You see, Russia also, they see a possibility of war, and they have had a war drill recently which moved 40 million Russians into civilian nuclear fallout shelters. 40 million Russians were moved into their fallout shelters into practice for in case there was a war. So obviously Russia recognizes some kind of a threat. Now what it exactly means, I think we can say we don't know, but it means something, and we should sure have a close look at it. We should look at what it means to have a war. Yeah, North Korea is a small country, but we don't know what it could turn into. Would we have to buy the munitions and the military supplies for the war? All these things make a difference. You know, our country is already in debt, and if we had to borrow still more money on top of the $20 trillion which we now owe, well, it just makes for instability. We would have to buy our military things, supplies, even boots. The boots that our military wears are made in China. Other supplies are made in China also. And if China is a strong ally of North Korea, what would that mean to us getting our supplies for our military, not to mention us civilians? There's a lot we don't know, but we should look pretty close to it. Now, I don't know how the North Koreans got missiles or launch vehicles or control systems. I wonder if they were supplied by one of their allies. I have not seen evidence that North Korea is capable of manufacturing these different things, or anything as complex as a missile or an ICBM. So I have to wonder, how are they getting these missiles? And where could they be coming from if North Korea is not manufacturing them? Well, it's a big question. So I wonder about what's going to happen, and I say, let's be cautious. So many of the wars that we've been in have been manipulated because the information that we have turns out to be different after a few years than what we originally were told. We need to be very careful. And what about our nation? Our nation is not justified like it used to be, because it does not have biblical morality anymore. And our nation's national debt also is not biblical. You know, there's the Bible saying that what a man soweth, he will also reap. Oh, it goes, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatever a man soweth, so shall he also reap. That's in Galatians. And I think it is applying to a man or a nation. The principle should be there. And how about the proverb in 22 that it was, a borrower is servant to the lender. And our debt, our national debt, we have a $20 trillion national debt. Who's lending us that money? It's a complex question. And the national debt of the various countries of the world is a complex question. It's not an easy answer. The interaction that goes on a financial basis is that there is a lot of intermixing of debts, of national banks, and such as that. So it's complex, and we're not going to get out of any situation like that very easily. I think that our nation's national debt of $20 trillion is probably more than our nation's total value if you consider property and improvements, if you consider houses and appliances, cars and manufacturing plants and every little thing. $20 trillion, I think that's about the value of our nation. There have only been two studies of that, and they were from about 20 years ago, and one less, probably 15, so it's not clear, it's not easy to get, but we are bumping right up against the limit of whatever that does come to mean. I don't know of anybody who has recently calculated the ratio of our debt to the value of our country. But it was calculated once about 20 years ago and a little sooner since, and I have not found any reliable information on it since that time, or even any information of a calculation. If you know about it, I would be very happy if you let me know. Well, I would like some good and reliable information about all these things. They're challenges. We face them. We, as citizens, face the challenges of our economic situation. $20 trillion is huge. It's huge. And we should look at these things using our analytical skills and just analyze it. Is it a good thing or not a good thing to be so far in debt as a country? It's not good. So I think we should be very cautious about what we hear, what we believe, and what we think we should do. There is a pressure on each of us. If we go into more debt, what does it mean? Will we have hyperinflation? Already we've had so much inflation in the last decades. I don't know what would happen if we had further inflation or hyperinflation, but it would not be stable for our nation. It would not be a good thing. So, have a good look at it, and be very cautious if we are called on to take some immediate action for a military move. It's just, we should use caution. We should be careful about all these things, our financial situation, our moral position in it all. I just think we should use some really close examination of all these things. Sure, we could be forced into it, but the chances are is we will have a little time, and we should really look to make sure of the truthfulness of the situation. Because over the years, how many times have the American people been manipulated into believing something that was not true? We see things over on TV, and that's happened quite a lot. And we find out that it just wasn't true. There's lots of manipulation going on around us. Sometimes it's very serious. The situation can be very serious. And I think that we should just have a really close look at it. Be careful not to be manipulated. I think we should really examine how all these different things would apply to our life and see what the situation would bring about in it. And I know we want to believe people. We, the American people, are quite decent people. Basically, we are. And we want to believe other people. We want to believe other people who deal with us. And that includes our government. We want to believe our government. If you look at the things that have been said and the truth that comes out afterwards, we should question the things that are told to us on the media, too. We don't want to be taken advantage of. We don't want to be deceived. We should be quite careful about following whatever it is that is suggested to us. It's a hard lesson. It's a hard lesson for us citizens because we've all been quite decent and we want to believe other people, and that includes our government. But we have to recognize that there have been more and more decisions that have made over the years, especially recently, that have been improper. So we want to continue in a free nation with freedom and not be encumbered. So we have to look pretty hard at what things mean or what we should do and all that. Yep. Thoughts of manipulation. Thoughts of deception. Stories on television or in the media. Yeah. And so that makes me think of a lesson that I just had in that. And I'll tell you about it because In hindsight, it's pretty funny. It's a lesson that I learned a few weeks ago, and I'll tell you about it because I was watching a YouTube show, and then I walked away, and I came back a few minutes into the next show. And because I missed the first part, which said it was a fictional dramatization of World War III, I got pretty involved in the program. Since I missed the first 5 minutes of the show, yeah, they had some really great dramatization in there. They had some things that really, really looked authentic. So there I was. I walked back in the room, and I didn't know that it was a fake news show. But they did a really good job of putting it together, and what they showed was European news footage throughout the most of an hour. I think it was 59 minutes that they showed it. They used clips from news from various sources, and that included the BBC news format and form and shows of its of the newsroom on BBC. They really did a good job of putting it together. And what it was about was that there was a joint NATO naval operation off the coast of Latvia. And then there was apparently a miscalculation, and NATO forces did something. And what happened was the Russian forces there responded, and they attacked the NATO forces, which were in a coalition force. And they did such a good job of reporting this, with military deaths on both sides increasing and more Russian troops brought into the situation and missiles and then the Finland airspace was violated, and Finland shot down a Russian fighter plane. So what did Russia do? They quickly moved their nuclear missile launchers into position along the European borders. Turkey, they refused to let the NATO airplanes fly through their airspace. The escalations continued, and Russia ended up having a torpedo into a NATO battleship. And then there was an invasion of Russia into Finland, and their forces quickly moved to Helsinki. Russia, at the same time, simultaneously, they invaded Poland and several surrounding countries. I'll say it again. This was a fictional dramatization of World War III, but it sure got my attention. It just escalated in a way that you could expect. So, if anybody's hearing this, this is not true, but it's what I heard in the middle of the broadcast. So BBC got on the air, and they advised all its civilians to procure 2 weeks of food and water in case the conflict grew. Then all the United States airplanes, or should I say warplanes in Europe, they had been ordered into the air so that they would not be bombed on the ground. And all civilian air traffic all over Europe was halted. So, yeah, the story just continued. It was reasonable the way they presented it. It was professional in the way they presented it, and the backdrops, and all these things were just sensible, mostly sensible. And now, in case you've just tuned in, I want to say again, I am describing a fictional and untrue story. So after all these events that were told, the next thing was the Pentagon had to be evacuated, because there was a massive nuclear missile strike against the United States on its way. So on the show, it had all the appropriate civil defense public warnings and all the ones that would have happened over the airwaves. It did seem quite real. They really did a good job of it. And I was trying to figure out, was this a real story or not? It looked real. I didn't want to change the channel to miss any of it because they said it was a live show, live news show. And so I didn't change the channel, and the sequence of events was just so logical. I did have a hard time believing it, but I also had a hard time not believing it. So there I was, glued to the television for 59 minutes before I realized that it really was fake news. So I did have a pretty big lesson to learn from this, and that was, even in the midst of adversity, I should remember to pray for God, pray to God and ask for discernment to make sure that I am understanding the things according to His understanding. That's the first thing. Pray, even in the midst of an adversity. So the other thing I learned was how easy it was to be fooled, deceived, sure by the media or sure by some slick presentation. It was surprisingly easy. I was glued to that television. Even though I knew it might not be true, I knew it might be true, and it was just quite a exercise to go through in my brain. So be prepared for any emergency. That was the third lesson I learned out of this, was I should be prepared for an emergency in case such an event had been true. What would I have done? It was just questions. Was I really prepared? Well, yes and no. I had some basic preparations, it's true. But how prepared was I not? There was things I thought about my current shopping list and how I wanted to have bought things at the store, and I didn't have them on hand. And that included hydrogen peroxide and dental floss. You know, just the basic things. Some food items. And I had to ask myself, and where was my bottle of potassium iodide anyway? You know, that's what we take. We take those pills for, oh, was it 2 weeks? To fill up our thyroid gland with good iodine so that it does not absorb the radioactive iodine that a nuclear bomb gives off. And if we were to absorb the radioactive iodine, it would kill our thyroid gland, and it would make us have to take pills with food for the rest of our life. So there's just some things we can do for protection. Did I think of them? Well, I just realized I really didn't have everything all set for if I needed to be prepared. It was a good lesson. It was a good lesson to see, what if our country was attacked? What would I do? What would you need to do, my dear listener? Each one of you has an understanding of what you should do to be prepared. Sure for small emergencies, sure for big emergencies, sure for natural disasters, and there's even a possibility of war. See, in the last 20 years, I have heard more than a few people who identified themselves as prophets, and they have said that such a thing would happen, that the United States would be attacked and nuclear would be involved. So you do have to question those things. I wouldn't expect anybody to just plain simple believe it. But there were people with records who were accurate, and they did say these things, that the United States would one day be attacked with nuclear weapons. Well, I can't say, do I believe it'll happen? Can't say yes, can't say no. But I know that the possibility is there, and it seems to me that that possibility is increasing in likelihood to occur. And I get the idea that more and more people are seeing this as a possibility, that the United States would be attacked, even with nuclear weapons. But certainly that EMP is a big one. Well, what I see, though, is people are recognizing the possibility of an attack on the United States. But the other thing I see is that fewer and fewer people are taking steps to prepare for if there was an event like that, which the United States was attacked. Just interesting. What do we do? What do we do, and how prepared are you? Yep, we all wonder about this. There are events that are forecast to be coming this way. So what do we anticipate? Well, I think we should look at a couple of things, and one of them is there's the sign in the stars with Revelation 12:1. And it's there. It's happening in a few short weeks. What does it mean? Now that's a whole another question. There's a surprising number of people who see that they are expecting a rapture event. I can't say that I see this. I think if anything it's going to be an indicator. But who's right? Who's wrong? We don't know. It could be an event, or it could be something we seem to, that it passes right by us. We really don't know. Anyway, with a real event that affects us in a physical way, it can affect us in a big way in the spiritual sense for us to recognize what's coming. But these days, there are things that are right current. They're right present with us. There are threats which we can see. And our United States Geological Survey, that is the USGS, has given us plenty of warnings about dangers we could face. They've told us about a West Coast tsunami where the continental plates join off the coast of California, Oregon, and Washington, and British Columbia. Really, we don't quite know what it means, but there is historical evidence that it would just be a huge event. So the USGS has warned us about that. And they've warned us about the San Andreas earthquake fault, especially in the southern area, where they say it's all wound up and ready to go. They have warned us about the New Madrid earthquake fault going in the east. And would it affect the west? Yeah, it probably would, but there's questions. There's a lot of questions. There's a lot of questions about Yellowstone. There's another spell of earthquake activity there. What does it mean? Hey, it's a good question, but we do know that Yellowstone is a super caldera volcano. There's only a few of those on the earth. They're so big. And Yellowstone is one of them. They say it could blanket the states around Yellowstone with 1 foot of ash. And then it would be 5 or 6 years before a good crop could be harvested in the United States. And we know we rely on food, don't we? We all need food. So those are some big things that just could happen. Our United States Geological Survey tells us that. But then there's the other events. Other events like forest fires. Forest fires, there are plenty of them in Southern California and Northern California also. There's forest fires in Oregon. There's all sorts of things going on. We don't exactly know what will affect us, but something will. Anyway, in all likelihood. So the idea that I see here is to think about it. Think about it, plan something, and then do something. After all, we have to have some things on hand to help other people. If we don't have extra, we can't have anything to give people. We want things for ourselves, yes, but we also want things to be able to give people. Have water on hand. Have food on hand. Have warmth or shelter on hand. These are just normal things to have. If you consider that a natural disaster could be here at some point, or how about a civil disruption? There could be some kind of violence around, or there could be some kind of damage or destruction. There's all sorts of things that could disrupt our utility service. We could be without electricity for an unknown period of time. It could be caused from that EMP or a CME. EMP is an electromagnetic pulse, and that is what happens from a nuclear bomb. A CME is a coronal mass ejection, and that comes from the sun. We had one in 1858 and 1859, and it caused our barbed wire fences that were up to melt, our telegraph lines to melt, and the melting metal dropped to the grass and caused prairie fires along the East Coast states. Well, there's just things that could happen, and so I think it only makes sense to have some preparations. You start with the easy things, and you make more and more preparations. We could be without electricity for quite a period of time. There's people who say it could be 5 years or longer, and that if that happens, it would make for a great discomfort in the United States and even widespread death. Yeah, it would be quite a job to plant and harvest the food without electricity. It would be quite a thing to do to have no job because we didn't have a job to go to since there was no electricity. It would be quite a different world if our electricity was unavailable for a few months or even a few years. It's just something to consider. No electricity, that means no gasoline either. Oh, it would change life so very much. Those are possibilities. They are all real possibilities. And if they ever do happen, it would be extremely devastating. Our struggles would become a matter of life and death. Our supplies would become a matter of life and death. So that's why I say, let's have some preparation about the most basic, the most fundamental supplies. Put them away. This is not an unusual thing to do. Water, food, other items, we should have some on hand. If they ever do become unavailable, what would we do? Every government in the world has some just-in-case supplies available. Sure, they include things like guns and groceries. That's what they do, and they have these supplies for their benefit, not so much to feed the population, but to maintain government. That's mostly what government does, maintains government. And I want to remind you that our strategic grain reserve is essentially at no grain left. It's so close to zero that we really don't have any supplies in case we don't have another country supplying our food. And sure, it's a lot of the grain comes from Canada, and that's relatively close, but if you don't have electricity, you don't have gas, and you don't have transportation. So I can only say, think about it. Take care of yourself and have some preparations. Have water, have food. And yes, they do cost, and so we have to have a plan. Have a written plan as to what to do to have these long-lasting food supplies, and get some things every time you go shopping. But it helps to have a list. Everything you have on a list is a reminder. Have a plan. Get something every week. Get a drum, a metal drum, to store your food in. Get a drum, probably a plastic drum, to store your water in. A 55-gallon drum, one of each, is a good idea. Or get several. You can't have too much food and water for those emergency situations. And don't forget the other items, you know, the more expensive ones, like a water filter. That's a good idea. And a wheat grinder. Those are a little more expensive. Put them into your calendar and get your supplies on a regular basis. That's about what most people can do. But take the steps. Have an idea about what it is you want to see. Write it down. Make a plan. See what is needed. We all have different ideas about what we each need, what our family needs, what our individual needs are. And that's a great part of having a community to draw on. Then we can share. Get some like-minded people together. See about having a group. Form a group, yeah. Or at least have a discussion. Talk to your neighbors. Talk about these things. Everybody has a different sense of what preparedness means, and so everybody gets different supplies. And that's a good thing, because each person can trade with another person and have their supplies benefit more people. It's a good thing. And it's not unreasonable to have preparedness items. You know, there are a couple of groups of people who do this regularly, and one of them is the government. Our United States government has emergency preparations on hand, so it can't be that bad a thing to do, can it? And you know that there's also certain religious groups that have supplies on hand, and they consider it normal and natural, and the only way to do it is to have your 1 year of food on hand. So if regular people do it, I think it's a regular thing. You don't have to be what other people would say. Would it be a fear-monger or a prepper in the negative sense? No, don't worry about the ridicule. Just have some things on hand for the just in case. Why can't we just be considered prudent people, getting prudent preparations together? Like I said, the government does this, the religious groups that do it. So, when there are events like the hurricane in Texas or other hurricanes, or an earthquake here or there, when people have extra supplies, it is helpful. It is nice. It is good to be helpful to your neighbors. It is good to be kind to the victims. It's good to have compassion. We as Christians should be compassionate. We should be caring for other people and have other people's interests in mind. Now, how much preparedness is certainly a good question. Are you considering a 16-day supply? Some people think that's just great. That would be about 2 weeks. Some people would say, oh no, 16 months is what you want. I sure don't know. Everybody has a different idea. And the big thing I see is that you want to think about it. You want to have a plan. And then you want to do something. Is it 16 months or 16 days? I don't know. There's not a real answer here. It's just what you realize is appropriate for you. And whatever you do, whatever your plan is, it's a lot easier to do it when the supplies are available. We have food, we have water, we have supplies right now in abundance. It's all available. And that makes this a time when preparations are a good idea because they're available. Now, there are several groups of people who do this. You can be one of the group of people and you can do it as a group or as an individual person or a family. It's all good. But somehow you have to think and you have to plan and you have to do it. As you know, I have talked to several groups of people and I've small groups, and I've found that there's more interest in preparedness right now at this time. It seems like what people are interested in is having some preparations, but I've been surprised how many people are talking about a 6-month time frame for having preparations on hand, particularly food. They think water's available, and it might be. But don't forget, if we have an earthquake, if we have a contamination problem, maybe even some kind of a flood or something, the water might not be suitable to drink as it comes out of the faucet. We might have to treat it, maybe with bleach, maybe with filters, maybe with something else. But we should have some idea about what it takes to make water clean and drinkable. A water filter is never a bad idea, but that can be a major purchase, that can be a minor purchase. It depends on what you see the needs are, and it's a big need if you don't have water, that's for sure. But it's for each one of us to decide and figure out. So there are other people who say you need other items, because if we have such a catastrophe on hand, you will have violence and people coming to steal your supplies door to door. Well, it could happen. And they say defense items are good to have on hand also. I leave that up to you. It might be the answer, it might not. They might come for your defense items. Who knows? But everybody has those things to decide all for themselves. But at least I want you to be aware that there are people in our society who are thinking about and planning about preparedness on all sorts of levels, on the most basic level, on the complex level. And so I'd like you to think about it too. Now don't forget, this is September. September is the National Preparedness Month, which is a part of why I'm thinking about it now. And I want to urge you to think about it and do something. Do something while supplies are available. You get to figure it out what it is, and you get to figure it out how to put it in a budget and have your plans. The plans work so much better than just going out and getting things. It makes it affordable, too. So think about what you'd like to do, and then do something. Yes, think, plan, and do. I don't know what you should do. You'll have to figure that out, but I do want to encourage you to do something. You don't want to be begging for your food or looking for the government to supply you with food. They don't have a very good record of it. There are groups of people who have compassion on other people. Often enough, they're Christians, but there are other people, too, who just have human compassion. So you could have help from various sources, but I want to suggest that your best source of food and preparedness items is what you want. That way you get what you want, and you know you have it on hand. So look at what these very real possibilities are of situations that we don't know what they might be. We don't know if it's a natural disaster, if it's an economic problem or collapse, or if it gets to be a war. All these things are possibilities, and they're more seen as possible in recent days. If you do something, you will be glad for it, I'm sure. So you don't want you and your loved ones to have a problem. You don't want to starve. You don't want to be in difficult ways because you don't have food. That's happening in Venezuela. They wish they had stored up, I'll tell you, that's for sure. There's a few other countries that have had food shortage problems. And you just want to have things available. Have things available. Remember, this is the National Preparedness Month. And we've had a few people who have been hurt by hurricanes or forest fires or just a personal situation that has affected their life. So please, think about it. Make a plan and then do something. How bad will it get? That's anyone's guess. We don't know if it will affect an area, a town, a state, or a country even. We just don't know. But all these possibilities are showing themselves to be real possibilities of trauma and difficulty. I'm sure there's a few people who say, I don't need to prepare. God will watch over me. And it's possible. Maybe you are one of those who are expecting manna from heaven. But if you're not, I do urge you to think of those other things, which are think, plan, and do. There are various Bible passages that tell us that we should do things to prepare for the future, that we should see evil coming and get out of its way. That's Proverbs 22. A prudent man foreseeth evil and hideth himself, while the simple pass on and are punished. And that is to say, they get consequences for not noticing the danger or the evil. Well, you get to figure it out. You get to see what the real meanings of these things are. But I urge you to look at it. I urge you to prepare for that just in case. And this, being the National Preparedness Month, is a good time to look at the different possibilities. Don't forget, some people view this as the end times. Some people see that Revelation 1 sign in the sky as being an indicator of it. That's coming up just right around the corner here. Yep. So in a couple of weeks, it might be a sign for Israel. It might be a sign for the world. It might be. Who knows what it means? But there's a few people who think it doesn't mean anything. There's a few people who think the eclipse doesn't mean anything, or anyway, not for this nation. Well, that's for each one of us to decide. But I do urge each one of us to just look into it. Consider what the possibilities are, and don't forget, I think Matthew chapter 24 is such an informative chapter because it does talk about what's coming upon the earth. It talks about events, serious problem events. It talks about famine. How long will this be? I urge you to read that book, the Bible, and you'll get your own understanding of what it means. Because we each are to read that God's Word and figure things out for ourselves. It tells us that we are to understand as best we can and to see what we should do. Don't base it on another man's understanding. Read it for yourself. It's right there. Now, after all, if you were going to have your eternal salvation in heaven depend on a book, I think you'd read it. And that book is the Bible. Don't be dependent on another man to read it, another man to quote you scripture. You see what it is. You are responsible for your own salvation. So read these different parts of the Bible. Read the whole Bible. It's a good book. You know, that's why they call it the good book. So read it for yourself, and do remember that you want to pass the test, the Bible test. Read it and see what it says. Get yourself going into heaven. That's where you want to be. Don't say, I hope I'm going to heaven. Understand why you are, and then live the life that it calls you to live. Now, we are in those last minutes of this broadcast. I do want to encourage you again to look at the just in case, the what if scenarios, and see what you might want to do. And I invite you also to write me a letter and get my little information sheet. I have one, and I give it away for free. Just send me a self-addressed stamped envelope, and I will send you my preparedness pages. And that's a pretty simple couple of pages, but it is meant to inspire you to think, to plan, and to do, to give you some ideas. So you can write me, John Stephenson, at P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. And I will, with that self-addressed envelope, I'll send it right back to you with my preparedness pages. Again, I thank you for listening, and I urge you to walk with God and let God walk with you, because that's where we want to be. So many good things in life. We want to celebrate life, celebrate the hope that God has given us, and love. That we all look at all these different areas and we're thankful to God for what He provides us. Love and hope. Thank you for listening. Talk to you next week. And remember, this is the National Preparedness Month. Prepare in your spirit and prepare physically.